Turn to Romans chapter 5. The latter portion of this chapter, starting in verse 12, deals primarily with two men. The first Adam and the second Adam. As it says over in 1 Corinthians 15, the first Adam was of the earth, earthy. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. When it comes right down to it, God has dealt with this world in two men. He's dealt with this world in two men. The first Adam and the second Adam. It's called representation. We know what that is. We know it's someone who represents us. In Washington, Congress and the Senate, they're supposed to represent us. And here we have two representatives. And theologically, they're called federal heads. Adam being the federal head of the whole human race. And Christ the federal head of that whole heavenly race. All those whom he saves. He's the federal head. And Paul, after dealing with, from the very first chapter till now, he dealt with sin. He dealt with there's none good, no, not one. Jew and Gentile. And that the only way we are saved is by grace through faith in Christ. And by faith through grace in Christ, we are justified. We are cleared of all charges. There's nothing against us in Christ. And here, in this verse, verse 12, Paul begins to tell us how we became ungodly and how we are made righteous. We became sinners through no effort of our own. We were born sinners. In sin, David said, did my mother conceive me? I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And we become righteous through no effort of our own. We are made righteous by the obedience of one. We were made sinners by the disobedience of one. Adam, the name Adam in Hebrew means humanity. So in Adam, all humanity sinned. In Adam, all humanity died. That's how we became sinners. That's how we got into such a terrible condition, is through one man's offense. Now, lest someone wants to throw rocks at that one man and blame Adam, I see the wisdom of God in this. Because if Adam hadn't have fallen, I would be subject to falling. I'd be subject to it. Because that command, do not eat of that tree, would still be there. It would still be there. And it would be hanging over my head. So God in wisdom put all men in one man. So that in salvation, all whom he saves by the obedience of one man. That's the wisdom of God. He allowed us to fall in one, and he saves us in one. That's the wisdom of God. In verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. That's how sin came into the world. Adam was the door through which sin entered into the world. into humanity. That's what he's talking about. This is representation. As I said, God sees all men under two heads, Adam and Christ. And Paul is going to make a comparison here between these two men, these two Adams. We know that over in 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. It says the second Adam, a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. It says the first Adam was of the earth, earthy, and the second Adam is the Lord from heaven, the Lord God Jehovah from heaven. The first Adam made us sinners. The second Adam makes us righteous. The first Adam, death came to us. Death in Adam. I wrote out beside verse 12, Adam, sin, and death. That's what's associated with Adam. But the second Adam is life. Eternal life. The life of God. He's talking here about the quality of life when we talk about eternal life. Eternal life is to know God. It's the quality of life. We have in Christ, we have life. We have forgiveness. We have acceptance. We have righteousness. Listen, we have so much more in Christ than we ever lost in Adam. And that we ever had in Adam. We have much more in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only comparison between the two is their headship. After that, everything's in reverse. It's in reverse. We'll see this as we go along. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, by Adam's one transgression, God said, Adam, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And Adam disobeyed God. And when he did that, death, sin came in, and death came in right upon the heels of sin. And Adam died spiritually. He died. And then 900 some years later, he died physically. But spiritual death happened first. And now when we are born into this world, we come into this world just like our father Adam. That's the only thing Adam can pass on to us is sin. The only thing he can pass on to us is his nature. If you go back and read in Genesis, the first boy was born, the first son was born to Adam, it said he begat a son after his likeness. Just like him. The apple, what's that old saying? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It didn't. It was just like him. Just like him. When Adam fell, sin came in and death came in. We were not crippled in the fall. You know, like Mephibosheth, when he was a young child, his mother fell, he fell, and he became crippled. That's how he became crippled. He became crippled by a fall. But I'm telling you, the fall of Adam didn't cripple us. It killed us. Death. Spiritual death. We lost the way to God. We lost the truth of God. And we lost the life of God. We lost all that. We lost the Garden of Eden. We lost a perfect universe, a perfect world, a perfect earth. We lost all that. This is why we have storms, and this is why we have the weather we have, why we have thorns. I was bird hunting the other day with my dog. And I have got scratches on my legs from going through those briars. And my thought, first time I got scratched, and it stuck me, I thought, Adam? I did. That was my first thought. My first thought was, Adam? This is why we got thorns. But I tell you what, you can say John, or you can put your name there. That's why we have them, because we would sin too. It's just God's wisdom. He let it all happen in one man. But we lost it all. And we die spiritually unto God, and then eventually we all die. That's the one thing we can't escape. Someone said there are two things you can't escape. Death and taxes. Well, you can escape taxes. If you want to go to jail, you can go to jail. Or you can put a backpack on and go to Alaska, get way back there, some place where you can't be found forever and you're not paying taxes. But I tell you what, no matter how far back you go, I tell you what's going to find you. Death. They'll find you fossilized somewhere, but you'll die. Death. You can't get away from death. Why? Because of sin. Sin. You know, one of today's problems in the pulpit is that preachers don't know, they don't understand what happened in the garden. If you go, someone said this, I don't remember who I heard first say it, but if you go wrong on the fall, you go wrong on it all. And this is why today's preaching is so bad, because they don't understand what happened in the fall. Spiritual death. Spiritual death. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. There's nothing about God that attracts us. We are attracted to darkness. We are attracted to sin. We are not attracted to God. Because we are spiritually dead. Our thoughts of God, until He saves us by His grace, our thoughts of God are wrong. They're wrong. Not until the Lord saves us and reveals Himself to us do we have a right understanding of God. And I'll tell you this, you'll never have a right understanding of sin until you have a right understanding of God. A right understanding of sin comes from a right understanding of who God is. Until you see something of God's holiness, God's perfection, you cannot see the evil in the darkness of sin. Until you understand who God is, you will call, and I will call, sins mistakes. Well, that was a mistake. No, it wasn't. It's sin. It's not a mistake. It's sin. It's not a blemish in my character. It's sin. That's what it is. But until we understand something of who God is, until He gives us life, we can't understand the evil of sin and the contamination of sin. We can't do it. The sentence of death passed upon all men. When God said, the day you eat thereof, you shall die. When he ate of it, he ate of it representing not just himself. He represented humanity. The whole of humanity goes back to one man. Adam. All of us are related. We're all cousins. Every one of us. We all go back to Adam. One man. Adam sinned against God and he died. It says there in verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Now listen, all have sinned in Adam. We got to go back to original sin. This is speaking here of original sin. We were made guilty and we were made sinners in our father Adam. Someone told me some time ago, this before I came here, I went to a funeral home and someone I knew was there, and they was talking to me, and my dad was standing there. And she said, you can't deny him. This lady said, you can't deny him. He looked just like you. He looked just like you. We look just like Adam. We look just like Adam. You say, but I don't, and I know there are some who don't want to be guilty because of something that he did. Because of somebody representing me, because he sinned. Well, I tell you what, you identified yourself with Adam when you sin. If you don't want to be identified with Adam, don't sin. Every time you and I sin, we identify ourselves with Adam. Every time. So Adam, listen, Adam sinned against God and he died. And when he fell, Sin was not only imputed to us, charged to us, but a sinful nature was imparted to us. David said, I was conceived in sin. The seed that I was conceived with was sinful. It was sinful. It says in Psalm 58:3 that we go astray from the womb speaking lies. You don't have to teach your children, because my dad didn't have to teach me how to lie. You don't have to teach a child at all how to be bad. You don't have to teach them how not to share. You share this with your brothers and sisters. No. You don't want to, you automatically, as a child, you really don't want to share. I mean, it comes in early, doesn't it? I mean, it just shows up early. You don't have to teach them anything. You have to teach them manners. You have to teach them manners, to have to teach them to be respectful. Why do you have to teach them that? S-I-N. Because our nature is totally against everything that is right. It is. Genuinely right. It's against it. Now, to keep in line with this, we're going to go from verse 12 over to verse 18. Because that in parenthesis we'll come back to later. Here in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Judgment came upon all men, listen, by one man's disobedience. Even so, now here comes the comparison. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. By the disobedience of one man, Adam. You know, can you imagine after Adam fell? Now we don't know by the scriptures if God saved them. I think he did. I believe he did. He shed the blood of an animal and covered their nakedness with the skins of an animal. God shed the first blood. And he covered them. And I believe that he taught his children about the Lord. And the that's how Abel knew how to offer the sacrifice. I believe he learned it from Adam. Can you imagine when Adam saw the first thing die? He knew it was because of him. When he saw all that, and he lived 900 years, and he saw his children, you know, Abel was murdered by his brother Cain. I think he knew that the very seed that was in Cain that caused him to murder came from him. Can you imagine how devastating it was to be the first one to brought all of this into the world, this perfect creation? He walked with God in the garden. He walked and spoke with God in the garden. And now he's kicked out of the garden. His family's kicked out of the garden. Everybody's kicked out of the garden. And everything that happens now, at the sin and the stuff that started going on, he's the root of it. He's the root of it. It had to be devastating. It had to be devastating. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. No one was able to escape it. No one was able to escape the condemnation of the law over sin. You've heard the old cliche, the long arm of the law. No one could escape it. All whom Adam represented came under condemnation. But Aren't you glad it doesn't end there? Even so, by the righteousness of one, by the righteous obedience of Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Even so, in the same manner, by the obedience of the second Adam, by his obedience, the free gift came upon all men. Now the words all men here, listen, it doesn't mean every son of Adam. It can't mean that. No, you have to interpret Scripture in the light of Scripture. It can't mean that. It's all whom he represented. All whom he represented. That's what he's talking about. In the same fashion that we were in Adam and fell in Adam by representation, in the same fashion we are in Christ and we are made righteous in Christ. We are raised in the Lord Jesus Christ in the same fashion. Representation. And the free gift here is his righteousness. It's freely given to us. We don't do anything to get the righteousness of Christ. God freely gives it to us by his grace. It's by his grace. And brethren, this is a righteousness that you and I cannot lose. Here's the good news of it. In Adam, it was conditional. In Adam, my standing was conditional. My standing in Christ, your standing in Christ, is unconditional. It's not conditioned on me. It's all on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. I can't lose it. I cannot mess up that righteousness. It's his righteousness. That's why we call him the Lord, our righteousness. It's his righteousness. And we can't mess that up. And we can't mess it up. And because we can't mess it up, all the blessings that we have in Christ, which we can't even begin to imagine, are ours. They're sure. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. They're not conditioned on me. They're yea. They're yes. They're sure. They're sure. Now it says in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see, by the disobedience, we were made something that we were not. We were made sin. And we were made sin by one act of disobedience. Well, by the obedience of Christ, we were made righteous. He represented us. We were put in Christ before the world began. In Ephesians chapter 1, we were chosen in him and blessed with all heavenly blessings in him before the foundation of the world. This is God. You know, when it comes back, when it comes right down to it, we can just look at this and say, salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. He did it all. All to him I owe. We were made constituted sinners in Adam, but righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, it says here in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The law entered 2,500 years later. It was about 2,500 years later that the law was given. Why was the law given? If you cannot have life by it, why was it given? That the offense might appear to be what it is. That sin might appear exceedingly sinful. The law is a reflection of God. God is the law. He's the law. He's the law unto himself. And the law that he gave is a reflection of him. And he never gave it. God did not give the law for anyone to seek life by it. God gave the law that you and I would understand the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And that we would really understand that all our sin is against God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That's why the law entered that the offense might abound. But listen, but where sin abounded, now listen, where sin overflowed, you know, it's like sin, Adam's sin was like a big boiling pot, and it boiled over, and it just spread throughout the whole, you know, the whole creation. Animals die. Animals didn't sin. They didn't sin. But I tell you, well, who did sin? Their king. God said, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl, and all. Have dominion over this earth. And when Adam sinned, it was like a boiling pot. It just boiled over, and it affected everything that had to do with Adam. So everything on this earth dies. Everything dies. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, oh, I mean, this is the good news. Grace did much more abound. Grace overpowered it. Grace overflowed it. I mean, it's like this. It's like as exceeding sinful as sin is, grace is that much more. Grace is far more exceeding. The grace of God, it can't even be compared to the abounding of sin. The superabounding of grace is just beyond our comprehension. God reconcile enemies. God love enemies. God love those who spit in His face. God reconcile those and make righteous those who hate Him. That's superabounding. That's superabounding grace. That's what makes grace amazing. That's what makes it amazing. When you understand something of sin, and that's what you are, that's what makes grace amazing. That it superabounds, it covers, it goes over. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, it's like this. Adam was the king. God made Adam king over this earth. He said, have dominion over this. Have dominion over the fish, the fowl, and animals. You got dominion. When he sinned, death took that throne. Death reigns. Death reigned as the king. Death sits on that throne instead of Adam. But the good news is our Lord dethroned death. Our Lord has dethroned death. Death received its death in the death of Christ. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin hath reigned unto death. Sin takes hold, and the end of its reign is death. Death. But here's the good news. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. Because you and I are still sinful. We're still sinful. We sin way more than we know. There's sin in everything we do. There's sin in our most sincere prayer. There's sin in it. But the grace of God toward us reigns. Grace upon grace, it reigns. You know how God's grace reigns on us, though we're still sinful? It's through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how God continues grace upon grace upon grace. It's through the righteousness of that man, Jesus Christ. That's why. It doesn't rain on me because I straightened up. It rains on me because Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That's why the grace of God, that's why we're still here. We are here by the grace of God that's reigning through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, just briefly, let me jump back real quick here to verse 13 through 17. It says, let's go back here just a minute and I'll finish it. For until the law, that is the law of Moses, was given, sin was in the world, but sin's not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgressions. That's why infants die. That's why they die. Because they're sinners. Death reigns, even though it reigns over those who have not disobeyed a direct command like Adam did. And included in that statement there is, and I think he's making reference here, is this is why infants die. They die because of sin. They die because of their connection to Adam. They were in the Adam's the root. They are in Adam, and they are born with a sinful nature. Now, I have no doubt that the Lord redeemed those who die in infancy and people who have mentally handicapped. I have no doubt about that. But he's saying here that the law, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin's not imputed when there's no law. Well, there is a law. First of all, God. Secondly, there's still that law, don't eat. Now, that just passed upon everybody. When Adam did it, it passed upon everybody. But then there's the law written on the conscience. The law written on the heart of every person born into this world. Like I said, you've got to teach your children to have respect, to do right. But I tell you this, when they do something wrong, they know it, don't they? They know it. You can see it written on their face. When they got in the cookie jar, you can see it on their face as well as their... I mean, other than just the cookies on their face, you can see it on their face, their expression. They know it's wrong. It's written on the heart. But he says here in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And he's saying here that it's in reverse now. It's in reverse. In one sense, added the type of Christ, but after that, it's in reverse. Let me go back here. In verse 15, but not as the offense, so also as a free gift. For if through the offense of one, many are dead. See, we were dead through one offense. But now listen, what we have in Christ, the salvation we have in Christ, the gift that we have in Christ is given to us, and many offenses, all of our offenses, are gone. They're gone. Put away. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, by one act of disobedience. But the free gift, it covers all our offenses. Because I tell you what, I'm guilty of sin, are you? I'm guilty of a lot of sin. All those offenses are gone. Not just that one act that was happened in the garden, but all the offenses that we have committed since. Gone. Gone. By how? By the act of the obedience of one person, Jesus Christ. Christ confers on us much more than we lost in the fall. Much more. Our standing is sure. Our blessings are sure. The promises of God are sure. There is no command for me to keep in order to be saved and please God. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to Him I owe. All of it. Christ pardons not one sin, but all my sins. Christ justifies in such a way that the believer is righteous and can never perish. That's good news. That's good. I think, listen, representation to me, that's good news. I see the wisdom of God in it. I see God's wisdom. We all died in one. We all made alive in one. That's the wisdom of God. All right.